Well, welcome everyone. I'll just let you know I've been having a few technical difficulties with my computer tonight, and so it seems like if I push a button, like the screen disappears, and so just fingers crossed that it keeps working right now. And then one other technical challenge, so to speak, is that my two doggies are in the room with me right now, and logistically, that was the best plan that I could come up with. So there could be a sudden eruption of dog excitement in the middle of our sit tonight. So I appreciate your patience with that. And yeah, and so tonight's talk is titled Mindfulness When We Disagree. So John Muir, this beautiful quote, and it goes, "Climb the mountains and get their good tidings. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into the trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you and the storms their energy, while cares drop away like the leaves of autumn." So this is what I do. I seek out time in nature to restore my sense of equilibrium, to feel deep gratitude in my heart and connect to a sense of inspiration. And it's really just such a great privilege to live in Northern Arizona. And I just want to acknowledge that there's many people who don't have the same access to this precious resource of easy access to nature. And I feel compassion in my heart for those people, and also a deep sense of gratitude for having this relationship in my life. And so recently, I had the good fortune to be on a walkabout with a friend of mine. And it was really hot outside in the middle of the day. And I just needed to get into the shade. And so I sat down underneath a juniper tree. And it was just this really scrawny patch of shade. Like there's barely enough room to cool off. But I like got in there, and then my friend joined me, and we proceeded to lay down underneath this tree. And it was such an awkward position. Like, I remember my head was kind of downhill, and everything was itchy underneath me, and my feet were still out in the sunshine getting burned. But it was actually this really wonderful moment of being with discomfort, but also appreciating beauty. And I really just distinctly remember looking up through the trees and seeing all the branches and the space between them, and the sun coming through, filtering through the top of the tree, and this amazing network of spider webs. Like every branch was connected to other branches with this vast network of spider webs. And it was just the most amazing thing to witness, this beautiful network of art created by these tiny, tiny little creatures. And what came to mind for me when I saw this web is it reminded me of our loving kindness practice and how we are sending our wishes for peace and well-being out into the world for all beings. And at the same time, people all over the world are sending us their loving kindness in every moment. And I just find that to be such a hope-filled, inspiring thing to have in my awareness. And what it reminds me of is that this is a way that we are all interconnected. And even though we can't see this network of connection, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And similar to when I was standing next to the tree, I couldn't see all of those cobwebs. But when I changed my perception and laid underneath it in this humble position, I was able to observe a different perspective. And I think about how helpful that awareness is for these times where there's so much divisiveness happening within our world. So each one of us is a teacher to one another, and we may not always be aware of that, but our actions and how we show up in the world matters. How we engage with a person at the grocery store or on social media or our friends or our family, it makes a difference. And if we are shifting our attention to seeking the silver lining of these times, looking for inspiration, which I happen to be on a mission to do at this point, even with all of this divisiveness that's happening, there is also this tremendous opportunity for us to connect and come together. And when I witnessed the protests that were happening all over the globe, people coming out into the streets and expressing their support and coming together in unity to help support others, it's just a wonderful example of this opportunity for us to come together in this time of darkness. So as people express their opinions about wearing masks and COVID-19, about racism and protests and riots and climate change, I've been experiencing this clarifying understanding that and reminder that not everybody sees things the same way. And people that we love and respect may have very different, strongly held points of view. And for many people, these views, these issues feel like life and death. And so there's this antagonistic culture of doubt and judgment and reactivity that's occurring in the world right now. And it consumes so much of our attention and drains our energy. And I know I experienced this in my own life from having friends who I haven't seen in forever because they're holding down the fort at home and trying to avoid getting the virus and also demonstrating their solidarity with those who are most vulnerable. To my friends who don't believe in wearing masks and who are hugging one another and who want to hug me and who I want to hug. Except, like recently, I was on the way to go and visit my 70-year-old mother, who, just by her age, is more vulnerable and at risk. That's Raja, if you can hear my dog. He's chiming in. So I was on my way to visit my 70-year-old mother, and she's been in pain for several months now because she needs a hip replacement, and the hospitals aren't doing those kinds of surgeries right now as the virus runs rampant. And there's people, oh my gosh, will you excuse me for just a moment? I'm just gonna see if I open the door and give him a little space so he'll feel better.
No barking.
I'm sure you parents out there can relate. So I was speaking about how there's people out there right now who are protesting racism, inequality, injustice, championing the Black Lives Matter movement. And on the flip side, there's those that believe that racism is a thing of the past and who believe all lives matter and who feel that this movement promotes a mentality of being a victim. And then it's Pride Month. And there's many people out there fighting for LGBTQ rights in the workplace and with insurance and in life. And also there are those who vehemently oppose such actions. So there's a woman that I know who was delaying for years coming out to her family. And she waited and she dreaded and she feared her mother's reaction. She feared being judged, ostracized, abandoned. And unfortunately, those things happened. Her mom did react in that way. But the sweet thing about this story is that this woman was in a space in her life where she was able to not take it as personally. And what she's doing is she's just trying to understand where her mother is coming from, putting herself in her mom's shoes, and trying to understand why she thinks the way that she does. And she can see the shame and the fear. And because she can see that, it's like the birthing place of compassion in her heart and infinite stores of patience. It's really just quite a remarkable thing. So she's motivated to help her mom feel safe and to feel loved and to show her mom that she's happy. This woman's capacity for loving kindness of a difficult person allows her to continue the relationship, even with such disparate views. And it also allows her heart to be free of resentment. Hi, Raja. So, I have a confession to make. I have been experiencing a whole heck of a lot of reactivity and judgment lately. These thoughts of, like, what? You think that? How can this be? That is ridiculous. I can't even talk to you. Total shutdown. Basically. And it turns out that certain topics with certain people, my equanimity goes out the window. And I don't know if anyone else out there can relate to that. But it just points to me that there's always, 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 always room to grow. So, my question is, how does mindfulness help us when these dynamics surface in our lives? How can mindfulness serve us when we disagree? And how do we work with our differences mindfully? So one way, where it all begins really, is with awareness. Awareness of our own reactivity. And when that comes to our attention, we can let that be our object of focus. We can be with the sensations in our body. We can observe the patterns, the tempo, the heat of our thinking. And in that observation, create space. So we can invite in self-compassion as we experience our own suffering. Many of you have heard the quote by Viktor Frankl that between stimulus and response is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. So when we can do this, when we can bring our attention to our reactivity and create that space, we can shift from reaction to response. And as you all know, when the brain is highly activated, our capacity to listen and apply our tools is less accessible and diminished. Our body's in a state of fight, flight, freeze. And at this point, conversation becomes so much more challenging. Although, at times, we have the capacity to be with that reaction and still listen. And mindfulness and meditation can help support this. They teach us to cultivate that sense of spaciousness, of having the room inside of ourselves to hold whatever arises. We also learn to bring curiosity to our difficulties. And although our initial reaction, or my initial reaction, is like, how can you think like that? There's the potential that with some deep breaths, relaxing the body, a simple shift can happen in the tone and in the language to be more like, why do you think like that? And then we can also invite an attitude of non-judgment, of acceptance of the other person, even if we don't agree with their views. When we feel accepted, we feel safe. The Buddha recommended that we cultivate shifting our perception. And in the shifting of perception, it's possible for our views to change. So just as I stood next to the tree and saw one thing, by laying underneath it in that humble position, I could have a different perception, a different view. And so some helpful tools for communication that help us be in alignment with responding rather than reacting. One is the practice of reflective listening. To just hear the other person out with no agenda beyond full listening. To the point where we can repeat back to the other person what we heard them say in our own words. And then we can see that they feel understood. We can read their body language and see their head nodding as they know that they were truly listened to. That they can feel that sense of acceptance and patience and generosity that we share. And a person is much more likely to listen in kind when we offer that gift, when we offer ourselves and our presence in the moment. So when we practice, when we engage with this level of respect, we elevate the conversation and we demonstrate the potential of humankind to relate to one another peacefully. And so it's my hope and my wish tonight that we remember that we have the capacity to shift our perception and to open to other points of view in order to create an environment of safety and respect with one another. And that this is the new culture moving forward in our world and in these days. So thank you all for your kind attention tonight. I appreciate you all being here. And this is an opportunity now, if you would like to stand up, stretch your legs, and we're about to sit for about 30 minutes together. All right, so when you're ready, you're welcome to get into a comfortable position. And for those of you experienced meditators, you're welcome to just drop into your practice. We'll also offer some guided instructions for those folks who may appreciate some support. And so you're welcome to sit up tall in a dignified posture. And just opening your senses to this present moment. Opening and feeling the space that is all around you. Opening to an awareness of your body in this present moment. Noticing if there's tension present and where that is. noticing your heart rate and your breath. Feeling your feet where they meet the earth. And may our practice include an invitation to non-judgment for whatever arises, and an invitation to soften the body, soften the mind, breathing into the face and allowing the muscles in the forehead and around the eyes to relax. Placing the tongue on the roof of the mouth to release the jaw. Dropping the shoulders down and away from the ears. And settling into this present moment. Resting attention on the breath, or whatever anchor serves you. Knowing that the mind is likely to become distracted. Knowing that this is not a problem. And instead, celebrating the awareness that you were distracted and returning back to your anchor again and again. Noticing if your mind has wandered, if you've become lost in thought, practicing forgiveness, letting go, and coming back to your anchor. And so now, my friends, it's our opportunity to practice the loving kindness meditation. And this is a guided meditation that can help us cultivate positive emotions in our hearts and in our minds and our beings. And it's our opportunity to participate in that invisible web of benevolence that blankets our planet. And so I invite you to relax your body, to get into a comfortable position. To take some long, slow, deep breaths. If it resonates with you, you might connect to a sense of appreciation for the breath. And I like to do this practice with a hand over my heart, connecting to the place in my body where I feel the sensations of caring and fondness. And now we can use our minds and our imaginations as allies right now. So I invite you to bring to your mind's eye someone that you care about a great deal, that's an easy relationship. I'm picturing Raja, my sweet doggy. It can be a child or a friend or a loved one. It can be a mentor or a teacher or a historic figure that inspires you, or even a beautiful place. Picturing someone so that it brings a smile to your lips. This is the feeling of loving kindness. And now, let us wish them well. And so I'll say some phrases that are traditional. You're welcome to customize them however you like. And I invite you to also take a deep breath between each line. And so we'll begin. May you be well. May you be healthy and safe. May you be free from inner and outer harm. May you be peaceful and happy. And may you be free. And then, still feeling that hand on your heart, let us engage in self-compassion, a practice that can be so elusive. See if you can keep your minds and your hearts open to receiving your own good wishes. Remembering that whatever happens is okay. It's just the present moment. May I be well. May I be healthy and safe. May I be free from inner harm. May I be free of outer harm. May I accept my limitations with grace. May I be peaceful and happy. And may I be free. And then you might imagine that inside of you is a light. And as you breathe, this light can go brighter and radiate outwards in all directions. The light of loving kindness. And so now is our opportunity to invite others in, to shine our light. So you're welcome to bring to mind your friends and family, perhaps seeing a slideshow of their faces. You might bring to mind your neighbors, people in this community, people on this call. People in other places, across borders, across oceans. And let us not forget the difficult people, the ones that feel hard to love. May we open our hearts with a willingness to forgive. Setting ourselves free. Not condoning their actions. But letting go. And let us not forget the animals, the plants, this beautiful planet. May we all be healthy and safe. Free from harm. Peaceful and happy. May we all be free. Thank you, everyone. Such a pleasure and honor to sit with all of you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.